What impact will the commitments of Brandon Ennis, Carnell Tate, and Noah Rogers have on the recruiting trail? Who could be the next athlete to commit to The Ohio State University? We'll discuss all that and a whole lot more right here with John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jake Stevens, also the host of the Jake Stevens Podcast. It is Monday, June 27th in the year 2022, and today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I would also like to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. On today's episode, we welcome back to Locked On Buckeyes, Mr. John Garcia Jr. He is the director of football recruiting at Sports Illustrated. It's him and I discuss three commitments and what could come because of what happened on back-to-back days. These commitments of these three individuals is huge, and we saw the effect that it has on the social media, on Twitter, and also I saw a little bit on Instagram. These three guys are really talented. And the fact that Brian Hartline and the rest of the coaches that impacted these individuals on the recruiting trail, that it caused and it had a cause and effect, it affected so much, they want to commit in the same week on consecutive days. I only wonder what's to come. Who will be next? When will it happen? That's why I'm glad John Garcia Jr. is here with us to discuss that very thing. I'm going to timestamp this. Normally, I don't do that. This conversation with John was recorded on Friday evening, June 24th on the evening. At that time, there were no other commitments after these three players committed. And so by the time you listen or watch this, there might be more players that have committed or a player commits after those three. And so I don't want you to be like, well, Jay, you're late. No, it's just the time that it was recorded. It was just something that happened after that fact. So I'm going to back away, bring in John Garcia Jr., and allow him to just let us know more about these three guys. And maybe during our prediction period towards the end of the episode, his prediction might come true, because I do think there'll be a few more guys who commit to Ohio State in the upcoming week. So let's bring John in and have a little bit of fun. There's a wanted man at Locked On Buckeyes. And no, it's not you're the man talking right now. It is John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated. We're having him at a different point in the week than normal. He was busy last week, so he was not able to be here. And I know people were waiting to hear from John Garcia Jr. to discuss what happened at Ohio State recruiting just a week ago. John, welcome back to the show. I understand you have been very busy this past week.
Yeah, I haven't been on as many visits as these recruits, but certainly took an official visit down to Miami to move back to my hometown. So happy to be settling in. We're not quite settled in yet, but definitely glad to be talking recruiting once again, 100%. Did I miss anything? Did Ohio State get a couple of guys?
A couple, yeah. That was after a couple of days, and there were three on three consecutive days. Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, and Noah Rogers all committed to Ohio State. Three wide receivers, three guys you and I have discussed on this show, I think in one episode maybe, and then we also discussed them, sprinkled them in every now and then. But this is a huge week. The Twitter world was loving it. Fans of other fan bases were hating it. That was kind of fun to see as well. What was your reaction when we got one commitment, another commitment, and then another commitment all in a short period of time?
Yeah, you love the coordinated attack there from Ohio State. Look, I mean, the best colleges in recruiting, they do this. It's like they just know how to say, have we not had enough buzz yet or lately? Let's go ahead and sprinkle something in. And if there's one position where, gosh, it could happen at Ohio State anytime, it's wide receiver. And certainly that's where we saw it go down. Obviously, the biggest and most, I guess, uncertain domino, what was Carnell Tate. We talked about it at length here, really down to the nitty gritty between Ohio State and Tennessee. And when he was finally ready to do it on Monday, It just seemed like, okay, here we go. And we talked to him just before, and he admitted it was Ohio State. And it just felt like things were going to change for the Buckeyes on the trail, because that individual win, so big, so national, and so not a layup, right? Even though Ohio State was the childhood dream school, you knew it was a true battle because Tennessee had a lot of momentum going into that commitment. So that was big. And then his buddy Brandon Ennis, who really has been kind of egging him on the entire time. Again, when we saw them out in Vegas, there was a whole lot of camaraderie between the two who have grown close playing for the same 7-on-7 team. And obviously, Brandon was ready to go right after that, which the destination wasn't a surprise there. You know, I think Ohio State had been right there at the top with USC and Alabama for a while for him. But the timing of it, it's almost like, you know, Brandon was hyping up Carnell to make his pick. He makes his pick, and then it reciprocates back to Brandon, and he's like, let's go ahead and make this a thing. So then they go back to back. And then same thing for Noah Rogers. You know, Ohio State was viewed as the favorite, but it was all about the timing. When was he going to do it? And the longer it went on, you started to feel like maybe he would stick to his North Carolina roots, and those schools would have a longstanding impression. But there he goes, right off the board to Ohio State on the third day. So I was certainly not expecting a back-to-back-to-back that it became. Though a couple months ago, if you said, hey, the Ohio State receiver class is going to be Bryson Rogers, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, and then Noah Rogers, I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's a good haul over a year. And then, of course, you know, it happened over 3 days. So it is certainly surprising in that regard. But wrapping up the best receiver class in America by, you know, June 22nd, that is certainly a surprise for any school, even the school that has become synonymous with development at the position like Ohio State.
I think one of the best things for these three young men is not only what Ohio State has produced and developed at receiver. I mean, this past year having the number 10 and 11 pick in the NFL draft, almost at NBA, we're just on the heels of that happening as well. But it's also the quarterback position. And I think what's somewhat gets lost in all this is Dwayne Haskins, Justin Fields, CJ Stroud, their progression, how they, for Haskins, for all three of them, how they quickly learned the offense, how they quickly learned to flourish in the offense. Now, Stroud got off to a little bit of a slower start, but he was also, it was his first time on the field throwing passes, so you kind of expected some type of growing pains. But the receivers is one thing, but Ohio State has a luxury to have guys who are first-round talents, future first-round draft picks, playing at Ohio State at quarterback. And if I'm a receiver, I'm not only looking at the progression from the development of the receivers at Ohio State, but also those quarterbacks, because I want to know, how are those guys that are throwing me the ball, how are they going to be developed? How are they going to be looked at? How do they play on the field? So everyone marvels at the Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, those guys, which we should. Everyone marvels at Brian Hartline, which we should. But I don't think we should all forget about what the quarterbacks are doing to assist these guys. And also Corey Dennis, how he's developing the quarterbacks, which also directly impacts how successful the receivers are once they are in Columbus.
That's a great point, Jay. That's been stable, right? And I think in recruiting, there's always that goal of stability, right? I want to go to a program where I kind of know what I'm getting, right? Which is why, like, Arch Manning picking Texas the other day was such a big deal, because the other options were so stable, Georgia and Alabama. Yeah. So him going outside the box felt bigger than it would have been elsewhere. But at Ohio State, you have that. You have stability on offense, and especially at the quarterback position. So there is a benefit of the doubt that is created there, and that absolutely plays into why some of these wide receivers are jumping on board. You can't have one without the other, right? I mean, it kind of goes, you know, without saying, but it is important to bring that up. And obviously, Ohio State quarterback recruiting is looking good into the future, right? You've got, after C.J. Stroud hits the NFL, you've got this Kyle McCord, Devin Brown battle that is going to theoretically brew, and then Dylan Raiola is thrown into the mix. And then if they grab a 23 quarterback, the point is it's going to be a deep quarterback room almost no matter what after CJ Stroud. So that certainly has a lot to do with accumulating this much talent. And I also think there's something to be said for these receivers kind of teaming up. That's not a position that we often associate with unselfishness and just being a teammate in general, right? When's the last time you heard, man, this receiver, he is a great teammate? It's just like, it doesn't come up. It's about, that's like offensive linemen, maybe, you know, defensive players who take on more responsibility to help others get a little bit more shine, et cetera. We don't hear that about wide receivers. So I do think there is some unselfishness here, but also a true openness to competition, much like those quarterbacks we talked about, that brings you to a program like Ohio State. There's a reason that the Buckeyes have always had an extremely talented roster, and you got to bring in competitive players, not just great players who want to kind of prove it every single day. And to have, let's be honest, the number one and two receivers, no matter how you want to flip them between Ennis and Tate, in the country going to the same school a day after the other, that says a lot about those kids and their own mentality on top of it, which is something that we've been able to see up close over the last couple of years. So it takes a lot to even target those guys together, much less navigate recruiting them simultaneously. And of course, it's a whole other galaxy to land them on back-to-back-to-back days. But here we are.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. We are here with John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated. He is the director of football recruiting for SI. John, you mentioned a competitive nature, the competitiveness of these individuals, no matter if it's Tate, the two Rogers boys, or if it's Ennis, there's a competitiveness about them because they know Ohio State does not run four wide sets, and at some point it's going to be three receivers on the field, and you're going to have to compete to simply get on the field. I'm not saying compete to just get a few plays. No, compete to get on the field, compete to start. There's that competitive nature, competitive edge that I think we see with these receivers knowing what they've done and how they're going to be once they get to Columbus. Is that normal for high school athletes? Do you want to compete as soon as they get on campus to simply get playing time?
Absolutely. For the best, it is normal. There's has to be this combination of confidence and self-restoration and belief that borders arrogance even. Because if you want to go compete at those schools, you have to first, like, you know, believe yourself, hey, I'm the guy. I'm going to be the guy. It doesn't mean you work any less hard. You have to have that side of it as well. You know, you've got to be able to back up the talk or the self-talk in this case. But yeah, it says something about great programs in general, whether you're talking Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, Clemson, certainly Oklahoma in years past. You're bringing in guys knowing that they're going to be the youngest, but that's not going to detract them from trying to unseat in the right way, hopefully, trying to unseat whoever, you know, is, you know, first on that depth chart. I think of a kid like Caleb Williams 2 years ago who missed his senior year because of COVID. But when he got to campus, all of his camp was telling me like, oh, yeah, he thinks he's going to start over Spencer Rattler, like right out of the gate. And if you remember a year ago, Spencer Rattler was like the Heisman favorite, right? Yeah, in the offseason, yeah. Going into, you know, so obviously it worked out for Caleb, and it doesn't always work out that way in terms of supplanting a guy who's established, but you have to have that kind of mentality for it to even be a possibility. And I know certainly with Brandon Ennis, he's one of the most competitive kids I've ever covered at any position. So that is something I for sure know with him. Carnell carries it a little bit more internally. He's a little bit of an introvert.
Okay.
Kind of wants to show you more than tell you, not that that's a bad thing. Ohio State has won with both kinds of wide receivers in particular. And I think with Rogers being kind of the last in the boat, that says a ton about him, because I don't know how many wide receivers will look up SI.com or 24/7 or Rivals or On3 and say, okay, the number one receiver and the number two receiver just committed to the school that I'm about to commit to. And okay, I'm cool. I'll just go there anyway. That says a lot about him, maybe the most about Noah Rogers. And I think it's fascinating to look at today. And unfortunately for them, they're going to be compared to one another pretty much the rest of their careers, right? And Ohio State has dealt with something like this in the past. It's just something that comes with being, you know, wide receiver U, right? When you're in the U conversation for any of these positions, that's something that you just know how to navigate, identify, and deal with once you get them on campus. So it'll be fascinating to see how it works out with these four. And they're all a little bit different. So I do think that helps in trying to figure out, you know, which ones could see the field a little bit sooner.
I do find it a luxury that Ohio State is having these commitments right now, not just for recruiting, but I do want to look a little bit into the future. We talk about the competitiveness and competitive nature that these guys are going to have, not just the three. You can't forget Bryson Rogers, and you've mentioned him a few times, but you can't forget him either, because he's also going to be someone that's trying to be competitive and compete to simply get on the field. But this could be huge for other players on the team as they're seeing these receivers battle it out. Maybe it might be in the weight room. Maybe it might be in sprints. Maybe it might just be in a regular drill they do every day, but they're constantly competing with each other, not just to get on the field, but to simply get each other better. You want to talk about a way for offensive linemen or defensive linemen or linebackers or even the secondary that's going against these guys saying, oh, snap, they're getting better. They're competing. They're trying to get on the field. I have to step up my game so I can stay at the level that they're at. It's a great way to not just keep the standard and the bar high at Ohio State, but to raise the bar, as Brian Hartline and Ryan Day and Corey Dennis and the other coaches want to do. As you want to keep the bar high, you're going to get athletes that want to raise said bar. And as that bar is raised, you're going to quickly see, I do believe, hopefully we do see players on the team rise to the bar and keep the standard high and keep it going up and up and up, because it's not only going to affect this recruiting class and the players that are already on the team. It's also going to affect future recruiting classes as well, because they're seeing something is special in Columbus. It's not just special. It's getting better and better and better. And John, that might be the best thing about this is the competitiveness and how contagious it hopefully will be once these guys are in Columbus.
100%. And I love that you brought up how it translates to other positions. You don't think the secondary prospects are keeping an eye on these receivers coming
right,
in?
Right.
You're crazy. Of course they are. Of course they know, you know, hey, if I'm, let's say I'm redshirting at Ohio State this year and I'm a corner and I'm looking at these kids coming in, I'm like, okay, you know, hey, let's see. Those are the guys I'm going to have to compete against in practice every single day. You know, I talked to a legend, Cavazos, you know, who transferred out of Ohio State to North Carolina. And I was like, man, what was it like? You're covering, you know, Garrett and Chris and these guys, even a couple years ago, Jameson thrown in there every day. And he was just like, man, he was like, if I couldn't get better in practice, I would have no confidence. So he said it was humbling, but it was also like part of why he feels great about, you know, turning the page and going to a new program, because of those days, week in, week out at Ohio State, going against such high level wide receivers. He said that's part of the reason why he picked to go to OSU. And it was part of the reason why it was so hard to leave, but it was just kind of a business decision. Cause of course the secondary is always stacked at Ohio State as well. So I do think that factors in both ways, but you certainly start the conversation with the wide receiver room at OSU. And it's maybe the strongest, most consistent and deepest room in all of college football for any one position.
We are here with John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated. John, we discussed a lot about these three guys and four receivers, but primarily Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, and Noah Rogers, who committed on back-to-back-to-back days. Who do you think is next to commit to Ohio State?
Well, their targets are all over the place in their decision-making. In terms of the one who has potentially the soonest turnaround, the quickest turnaround, from a visit to a commitment, it's probably Brock Glenn, the quarterback. Doesn't mean he's 100% committing to Ohio State. I do think it's a real battle between the Buckeyes and the Auburn Tigers, which is the school he's most familiar with. But look, he wants to be committed before the Elite 11, and the Elite 11 starts Tuesday night. So if he follows through with that plan, I do think he could be the first commitment off the board for Ohio State moving forward if he picks the Bucks. But again, a real tight battle between the Buckeyes and the Auburn Tigers, which is not something we say every day in recruiting, but the quarterback boards everywhere have shifted plenty over the last few weeks. There's more of an unknown timeline with the other top quarterback target, Austin Novosad, the Baylor commitment who we've talked about. He was at Baylor a couple weekends ago, was supposed to see Texas A&M this past weekend. So his list is changing. Ohio State hosted him earlier in the month of June. So his decision can really come at any time in terms of a final decision. So there's certainly some drama with the quarterback position. I think if you expand it and look elsewhere, there's a lot of defensive recruits set to come off the board in the coming weeks. I think among them, in terms of those, Ohio State has a really good shot at Jonel Guerra, the safety from Massachusetts. I believe he's committing in the middle of July. So I do think that could be a date for Buckeyes fans to keep an eye on. You know, we've seen this offensive class kind of go crazy, right? There's great running backs, wide receivers, quarterback could be on the way. Still need some love on the defensive side of the ball if I'm a Buckeyes fan. That's where I want to see a little bit more attention going forward. So he would certainly be a banner pickup. Jane Bonsu is also committing, the safety out of New Jersey. Another guy very high on Ohio State, really for the longest period compared to some of his other contenders. So the sooner he makes a decision, I think the better for the Buckeyes there. So it looks like the secondary and the quarterback position could be two of the next positions to see some volume increase for the Ohio State Buckeyes, who of course have built a solid foundation to this 23 class, even beyond these pass catchers.
Are Brock Glenn or Austin Novosad attending the Manning Passing Academy?
They're not at the Passing Academy because they're going to the Elite 11. So
okay.
It looks like we'll probably, if they grab one of those two, meaning the Buckeyes, we'll see another Buckeye compete at the Elite 11, where, of course, C.J. Stroud really put himself on the map. You know, Justin Fields won it the year prior, but he was already kind of a known commodity. Of course, he was I don't think he was committed to Georgia at the time, but he was committed to Penn State, flipped to Georgia. We all know how it worked out after that. So when C.J. did it, it was just like a flag planting ceremony, like, yes, you don't know a ton about me, but I'm here to stay. He beat out Bryce Young for the Elite 11 crown that year. So curious to see, because Brock Glenn and Novosad are in kind of that C.J. Stroud territory relative to their national profile going into their senior season. They are considered good prospects, but more unknown to the national audience because of the Arch Mannings, the Dante Moores, Jaden Rashada's of the world, Eli Holstein's of the world. So if they go to L.A. next week and really show out, they've got an opportunity to make a similar sort of jump like CJ did going into his senior season. And the Elite 11 has typically, especially the last few years, really been a prelude to a ton of college success. So it's something I would certainly keep an eye on out in LA, and I'll be out there. So maybe it's a little bit of a preview or selfish of me to bring it up, but I'll be out there, camera rolling. So certainly look forward to reporting on what we get to see out there.
We've mentioned it here a few times. You mentioned two quarterbacks' names here. I mentioned them. People have been wondering why Ohio State needs another quarterback, or a quarterback, not another, a quarterback singular in this recruiting class. And people look at, okay, well, they got three on campus, three scholarship guys, and they got a guy in 2024. Why do they need another quarterback? And I think it's wise. And I look at what just recently happened. Quinn Ewers transfers. Jack Miller the third transfers. You have a walk-on transfer. You only have three quarterbacks on campus. So you're expecting to have, what was that, six guys potentially on the roster this year, right now at quarterback? You only have three scholarship guys. I don't think there's a walk-on quarterback on the roster. I could be mistaken. But even if there is, that's four. The walk-on's not going to play. That's pretty much a done deal. He's not going to play. And the two guys that are behind Stroud, McCord's got a little bit of run. Devin Brown has not been able to get any run. So you're very, very thin at quarterback. We all know Ryan Day could bring in a transfer, probably doesn't want to bring in a transfer because that brings in a whole nother can of worms. And we keep talking, but you mentioned Brock Glenn, I think, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Austin Novosad, we talked about at length previously. I think there's a need and there's a reason for Ohio State to add a quarterback to this recruiting class. What do you think about them adding a quarterback right now to this group.
Yeah, I agree, Jay. I think you always want to bring in a quarterback every single cycle. Look, it's not going to work out with all of them. You know, the portal's taught us that. College football has taught us that. You know, there's not a position like quarterback where if you have a clock in your mind for when you want to see the field and you don't get there, you leave. It exists more for quarterbacks than all others, right? And everybody's clock is still a little bit different, right? Quinn's clock was really, really short, right? That was a stopwatch more than a clock. So you never know how that's going to work out in general. And then all things even, let's say after 2022, CJ goes into the NFL like we all expect. Who's the front runner? McCord, just because of experience? Well, now Devin Brown would have had another year under his belt. And then in theory, you're bringing in another quarterback recruit thereafter, maybe one of these two that we've been talking about. Who's to say they don't emerge despite being the youngest guy on the roster? We've seen that across college football over the last few years where true freshmen or redshirt freshmen become the guy really quickly. So you need depth. You need a competition, a true competition. Just like we talked about at wide receiver, you need that across the board, if at all possible. And then you're also building depth and volume because attrition is coming. It's just something that is a part of the quarterback position. So if McCord and Devin Brown are going head to head, it's really, really close, and then Ryan Day makes his pick, that loser of that battle might say, well, I'm out immediately, right? You have to be prepared to have depth beyond just the starter or the backup in this case. So it's really paramount in college football. The seasons are getting longer, right? Playoff expansion talks, increased regular season talks, et cetera. The seasons are getting longer. Health is harder to come by later in the year. You just need it in just about every single way. So, yes, if you're Ohio State, even though Raiola's waiting in the wings in 2024, you've got to try to bring in an arm in 2023. And I do get the sense the Buckeyes will get it done. Don't know how soon. If it's Brock Glenn, it's a matter of days. If not, it's all TBD. So it's going to be quite interesting to see if Glenn doesn't come to Ohio State, just what they do. Are they all in on Novosad? Do they start to look at other targets, maybe look at a late riser? That could always be at play here. So it's not quite panic time yet if Glenn does choose Auburn, because look, this time last year, Devin Brown did not have an Ohio State offer. And look, he's on the roster right now. So that's always something to consider, that these kids still have an entire year of high school ball left to play. It's just quarterback is its own animal, and it's accelerated from a recruiting standpoint. So we kind of freak out a little too soon sometimes.
If, last thing with you, if Ohio State is not able to get Brock Glenn or Austin Novosad, in your mind, or for people you've talked to, or maybe you've talked to this young man yourself, is there another quarterback that you think the Buckeyes have on their radar but isn't public right now?
I'm not sure from the Ohio State perspective, but look, some quarterbacks that are already committed are still being recruited by other schools. And I do think that's kind of a layer of recruiting we don't speak enough about at the quarterback spot. We just talked about Justin Fields. You know, when he was blowing up, he was a Penn State commitment. And even though most of us didn't think he would end up there, other schools still had to come and get him. They still had to go and try to flip him. Of course, you know, the in-state Bulldogs did before he transferred to Ohio State. But that still has to happen this cycle. We've seen four quarterbacks make commitment changes. And there's a whole other group now that are committed, but they're still being recruited by others. A couple names, if Ohio State jumps into that boat, would be Ricky Collins from Louisiana. He is committed to Purdue, but schools like Florida State and LSU are heating up for him, and he's thinking about taking more visits. Chris Parson from Tennessee, not far from Brock Glenn. He's been committed to Florida State since last fall, but other schools have been recruiting him, Mississippi State and SMU, and he has taken visits elsewhere. So those are two to keep in mind kind of right off the bat. And again, that's the same boat Ohio State's in with Novosad, trying to recruit a committed prospect. Normally, it's too little too late. But when you're Ohio State and you have this great quarterback tradition and a history of development towards Sundays, you're going to catch people's attention when you do jump in with an offer. So again, it's too early to panic, even if Glenn picks Auburn over the next couple of days.
John, I'm glad to have you back. busy week for you, busy week for everybody. But I'm glad to have you back. I'm glad you settled in down in Miami. Can't stay very long. Got to get to Elite 11. But I'm glad to have you here, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you after, maybe during said tournament, because Elite 11 is always fun. It's always there's always exciting plays and players that are there. So I can't wait to hear how Rayola does and how other guys do out there at this camp. John, if you could, let everyone know where they can follow you on Twitter. Then anything special going on over at SI right now as we're winding down a busy month of June, which has been full of recruiting.
Yeah, social media is pretty simple. At SI All American for all of our different recruiting channels, football and basketball. I'm at John Garcia underscore JR on all platforms. And yeah, SI.com/college for our up-to-date content. A lot of quarterback talk. That's really the focus right now. So we'll head out to the Elite 11 and see who's still committed or uncommitted by then. It'll be fascinating, and then we'll get to see the guys spin it. So a ton of coverage coming next week to SI.com. So be sure to check it out.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. I'm glad we can have John Garcia back for this show, a special show discussing numerous athletes, probably more athletes than John and I have discussed at any point in time since John's been coming on the show consistently. We'll have John back on the show again down the road. Trust me, there's more recruiting talk, and John is full of knowledge and information, so I'm going to try to tap in and pull some things out down the road as well. But guys, enjoy the show. Have a great day.